The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you. Welcome into a new week here on the program. And I guess it's, you know, it's the holiday week. So we'll get you ready for maybe you're already off. Maybe you get to take this whole week off. Maybe you're like our friends over at Fun 107 and you get the whole 2 weeks off. Man, that must be nice, huh? See, here at WBSM, we've got to be here live and local for you. There's too much going on all the time. So we've got to be here for you. But, I don't know, maybe next year I use my vacation time a little more wisely. Instead of putting it all in at the end of the year and saying, well, it'll just make my job easier and I'll just come into the show and then go home. Yeah, right! Had to write 5 news stories on Friday. This morning, I'm coming into no heat in the studio, which they're coming in to fix that. But that's why I had to run a few PSAs there. I had to restart the heat and try to get to warm up a little bit in here. But hey, if any of those Saturday guys are listening, next time the heat goes out on a Saturday, and I know it happened while you were here because somebody brought in a little space heater, just call me. I could have came down and fixed it. Then we would have had heat all weekend. Instead, it's been no heat in here all weekend. Anyway. Day's already starting off with me in a less than holiday mood. So we'll try and get through all that. We've got a lot that we're going to discuss today. We have joining us at 8 o'clock. We're going to have a guest calling in with some very important information for you. If I could just find it in my calendar. Here we go. Yeah, so it is. It'll be in the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to have Audrey Morris-Gasteyer, the executive director of the Massachusetts Health Connector, joining us to discuss the remaining days here of open enrollment and what you can do in the time that you have left. And if you haven't already decided, there is help available to help you make those decisions, but you've got to make them relatively quickly here. And I'm a person who has used the Health Connector in the past. I worked at a job that didn't have health insurance offered. So when it became a necessity in Massachusetts to have health insurance, I would have to use the Health Connector. And I found it to be a very relatively easy process to navigate once I had the assistance of navigating it. If I was left on my own, I mean, I didn't even understand health insurance, really. It was kind of just like, oh, that's what I can have? Okay, yeah, fine. But when you get to the health connector and you have options, then somebody's got to talk out all those options with you. And I'm going to be honest with you, I still don't 100% understand how it all works. I do know that thanks to the advisors that we have here for our health insurance, they talked me through all of the policies and all of the things I could add on and all the things that I would get included and all of that. And so now at least I have an idea and a list of all of the benefits that I have. But it can be a very daunting process. If you've already done it once before and you want to keep things the same, it's pretty easy. But figuring out that first time is a challenge. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about all of the different types of folks who would need to use the health connector. Because it's not just about people that don't have insurance. There are people who have the option to get it from work but can't afford it. And the health connector can assist with that. And it's very beneficial because once upon a time, there was a line. You were either on MassHealth or you weren't. And now with the health connector, there's all kinds of options. Commonwealth Care and helping you, like I said, pay for your work, you know, your benefits through work. And so we'll find out more about that. There's also some local issues that we can discuss this morning. There's a New Bedford Light piece this morning. Well, actually, I don't know what day it was published because I didn't read the Light over the weekend. It was published yesterday. And the title of the article is Mayor on the Move. And I'm sure when people saw that headline, they said, wait a minute, wait, where is Mayor Mitchell going? But this article by Grace Ferguson is an analysis of the travel that New Bedford Mayor John Mitchell did in a year's period. They did an analysis of not only Mitchell's travel over the last year, or over this 1 year period, but also other Massachusetts mayors to see how they stacked up. And they say he took 11 business trips in a 1 year period. He traveled farther, more frequently, and at a higher expense that year than any other Massachusetts mayor outside of Boston. The Light analyzed calendar and expense records for the 53 people in Massachusetts who held the title of mayor outside the state's capital from July 1st, 2023 to June 30th, 2024. The analysis only included travel outside New England on official business, excluding day trips to nearby states and personal vacations. Mitchell spent 27 full business days on business trips, equivalent to more than 5 working weeks spent out of town. And these trips came at a sum to the city of $14,414.62. He flew to Washington, D.C. 4 times and Southern California twice. He visited Miami in March, and last summer he was in the Azores. This summer he visited Kansas City and Baltimore. And then, of course, he also took that trip to Israel with the U.S. Conference of Mayors. So, again, looking at their analysis compared to those 53 other mayors, it says Mitchell's 11 trips far outnumber those of his peers. Mayors from Beverly, Salem, and Cambridge each went on 3 business trips that year. A few other mayors took 1 or 2 trips, while the majority took none at all. Well, and Mayor Mitchell points this out in his comments to the Light in this piece, but you can't really compare the mayor of New Bedford to, say, I don't know, just trying to pick another random city. The mayor of North Adams. I think North Adams is still a city. I just know that they had a mayor because A.C. Houghton in the Houghton Mansion, he was the first mayor of North Adams. So I'm just using that as an example. But there's a big difference between the mayor of one of the biggest cities in Massachusetts, one of the most economically important cities, especially moving toward the future, and a city that needs somebody to advocate for it because, let's face it, the federal delegation hasn't been doing a great job of delivering money to New Bedford. So this is a chance for Mayor Mitchell to get out there and advocate for the city. And now, you know, they reached out to City Council Finance Chair Linda Morad. And she said, "You're spending taxpayer money for what purpose? Justify the expense to me." But Mitchell told the Light the trips allow him to learn new ideas, advocate for New Bedford's interests, bring federal resources back to the city, and promote the city's industries. He said, "You cannot do this job the right way if you're not out there promoting the city." Now, out of that $14,000, we should note, and the Light breaks down what each trip cost the city. And some of these trips were $250 that it cost the city, which was usually just covering Mayor Mitchell's parking at the garage at Logan Airport. A lot of these trips, the costs were offset by like the U.S. Conference of Mayors and things like that, and some of the other organizations putting these things together. But I know that it's been a point of contention for people here, listeners, callers, when, say, you know, the Wednesday midweek with the mayor doesn't happen because the mayor is out of town. And then you get the phone calls from me, "Oh, he's out of town again. Oh, he's always out of town." And when you hear it in bits and pieces throughout the course of that 1 year period, you say, "He's not always out of town. You know, he's on the board of trustees for the U.S. Conference of Mayors, so he's required to attend a certain number of those meetings every year." But also, it's not like he's gone every other week. But then when you look at it, the way that the Light puts it out, you know, 5 working weeks he was out of town. Basically more than a month out of the year. So, I mean... I agree that Mayor Mitchell is doing all of these things to help the city, and he wouldn't be doing this if not for that. For those who want to look at this and say, "Well, of course, he's got bigger ambitions, so he's out there networking on the city's dime and all that," I don't think that there's really time for that. I mean, yeah, it's beneficial for him personally to know these people, but it's also beneficial for the city. And I don't think that there's, you know, the mayor talks about some of the things that have come back. I don't think that there's a lack of return on investment here. Now, he spent $14,000 of the city's budget for these travel expenses, but as he's pointed out, it saved them hundreds of thousands of dollars in costs for data analysts and experts that needed to have been called in, that he's been able to make these connections and get grants for things because of attending these different seminars and situations, you know, where he's learning more about these tools that can help a city. Now, some have questioned whether he needed to go to Israel. And I suppose, you know, that's a fair question. What was the U.S. Conference of Mayors hoping to accomplish by sending a delegation to Israel? But that trip, you know, obviously the mayor was gone for a few days, but that trip only cost the city $246, his parking fees at the garage, at the airport. Everything else was paid for by the U.S. Conference of Mayors and the organization that they had partnered with for that trip. There's also the question of... in February, he went for the U.S. Conference of Mayors conference in Santa Barbara and stayed at the Ritz-Carlton. And that cost the city $960 for 2 days at the Ritz-Carlton. And, you know, you can point to that and say, well, did you have to stay at the Ritz-Carlton? Well, that's where the mayors were staying, and Mayor Mitchell said he didn't pick the hotel. And I listen, I've never traveled with Mayor Mitchell, but I get the sense that he'd be fine with a Days Inn if that's what, if that's where everybody else was staying. But he has to stay where everybody else is staying. Trust me, as somebody who's gone to conferences before and had to stay at different hotels and where the conference is taking place, it's a huge hassle. You want to stay in the hotel where things are going on, because not only does it make it easier on you time-wise, but it makes it better for networking, for having conversations, for having meetings outside of the main meetings. You never know what important conversation is going to happen in the hallway or in the elevator. Or having, you know, dinner after the conference is over or something along those lines. And he's pointed out the relationship he's been able to build with Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg based on attending these. I'm assuming that they must have known each other from the U.S. Conference of Mayors when Buttigieg was Mayor Pete in South Bend. But they've really been able to foster that relationship, and it's benefited New Bedford. So there's two ways of looking at this. One, you could be somebody that gets cynical about it and says $14,000 for him to gallivant around and build his own visibility. Or you could look at this and saying, well, is this going to be the new blueprint for New Bedford mayors going forward? Is this how we get things done? Is he building the reputation of the mayor of New Bedford position so that they've got a seat at the table? He's got a seat at the table. I think it says in the story he's the only New England mayor on the board of trustees of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. And he's doing that to increase the visibility and the importance of New Bedford on the national scene. But people who don't like him personally, people who don't like his style, people who don't like the fact that he will be critical of other people in city government, people who have grudges against him, will turn this around into it being his ambitions. And that's what it's all about. And I would just ask, you know, what is really the visibility level of this? That maybe a future president comes out of this group. You know, maybe someday Pete Buttigieg will be president and John Mitchell has a spot in his cabinet. Okay, great. What are the chances of all of that coming to fruition? If they said to me here at WBSM and Town Square Media, hey, we want you to start attending these national radio conferences to represent WBSM, and we're going to pay for it, I'm going there to represent WBSM. I'm not going there to represent myself. I'm not going there to talk to people about other jobs. And in fact, I would not feel comfortable if somebody even said to me, well, hey, listen, if you're ever if you're ever looking for another gig, look me up. I'd be like, you know, I appreciate that. Thanks. But I'm here representing WBSM. But then if I became available and somebody reached out to me and said, hey, I remember you from this conference. Yeah, that benefited me, but I was still there doing the work that I was brought in to do, which would be representing the station and finding ways to better the station. So there might be some things that happen organically as a result of it down the line, but I don't think that has to be the focus and the intention. And by the way, I probably wouldn't go to one of those conferences unless they made me go, because radio people, in my opinion, and dealing with some of them on social media and some of the groups that I'm in, are so self-important. Like I guess never, you know, having to be fired in this business and move from city to city, I'm sure that does something to you, and you have to build your own brand and have that self-importance. And I haven't gone through that, but I just don't. I don't take myself as seriously, I guess, as some of these folks do. So I don't know that I'd want to be around them for an entire week or an entire weekend. But now the course is set for future mayors to have to follow a similar path in order to keep New Bedford on the national scene. We've got to take a break here. I've been rambling on. We've got to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a few moments with the news. All right, and it is time now to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Trump looking at ways to end birthright citizenship. Five injured at a Texas mall after a truck crashes through the building. And what came out on top at the weekend box office?
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President-elect Donald Trump's team is assessing multiple options to fulfill his long-promised pledge to end birthright citizenship. This, according to two sources familiar with the discussions, this is now teeing up a legal fight with the expectation that the Supreme Court would ultimately have to rule on the matter. Trump has railed against birthright citizenship, which is protected by the 14th Amendment, for years, and suggested he'd use executive action to ban it. Trump also says he wants to rename Alaska's Mount Denali back to Mount McKinley. Two U.S. Navy pilots shot down on Sunday over the Red Sea in an apparent friendly fire incident, according to the U.S. military. This marking the most serious incident to threaten troops in over a year of America targeting Yemen's Houthi rebels. Both pilots were recovered alive after ejecting from their stricken aircraft, one suffering minor injuries. But the shootdown underlines just how dangerous the Red Sea corridor has become, with ongoing attacks on shipping by the Iranian-backed Houthis, despite U.S. and European military coalitions patrolling the area. Chaos erupted at a Texas mall on Saturday when a pickup truck fleeing police crashed through the doors of a JCPenney store. The driver continued to drive through the store, injuring five people before being fatally shot by officers. The incident began with a police chase after reports of erratic driving. The driver then drove into the mall parking lot and rammed through the store, striking multiple people inside. Five victims taken to hospitals with injuries. Multiple law enforcement officers exchanging gunfire with the suspect, who was killed at the scene. The U.S. Department of Justice has filed a lawsuit against the state of Louisiana, alleging widespread and systemic overdetention of inmates. The suit claims that thousands of individuals are held in prison beyond their release dates, violating their constitutional rights. The practice, which has been ongoing for years, cost taxpayers millions of dollars annually. The DOJ warned Louisiana last year about the issues, but deemed the state's response insufficient. The lawsuit argues the right to liberty includes the right to timely release from incarceration. And Paramount's Sonic the Hedgehog 3 zoomed past Disney's Mufasa the Lion King at the box office, debuting with $62 million. The Sonic franchise continues to thrive, while Mufasa fell short of expectations with $35 million. Sonic 3 boasts strong reviews and audience scores, positioning it well for the crucial holiday season. Lion King prequel, meanwhile, despite a star-studded voice cast, received mixed reviews.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Celtics are in Florida to play the Orlando Magic tonight at 7. Bruins home at TD Garden to play the Washington Capitals also at 7 tonight. And the next Patriots game, it's going to be on Saturday, home with the Los Angeles Chargers. And we'll carry that for you live here on WBSM.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
A sunny Monday in store for us today, but we're maxing out near 25 degrees for a high. And that brings us to tonight. When a storm moves through, we have a chance for some snow showers, minor accumulations under an inch possible into Tuesday morning. And we wake up on Christmas Eve day with temperatures back in the seasonable area around the mid to high 30s. Expect clearing throughout the afternoon. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
After that started playing, that I might have just started making everybody's dogs bark at 6:37 in the morning. Sorry about that. But that is considered one of the most annoying Christmas songs of all time by many people. I don't really find it annoying, but I don't really love it either. But I'm impressed by it. That's Don Charles and the Singing Dogs. Now, it was originally recorded in the 1950s, and I believe 1955. And then it was reissued in 1971 and became a perennial favorite after that. You know, radio stations were playing it all the time when they released it as a single. And it actually hit number one on the Billboard Christmas Singles chart in 1972. And, of course, Dr. Demento would play it every year on his Christmas show. And it was definitely a song that was ubiquitous every Christmas season when I was a kid. I don't think you hear it as much anymore. But the impressive part about that was that kind of how it came about. So this wasn't, you know, like nowadays they could do that super easy because you just take some dog barks and put them into auto-tune or program them into a synthesizer and you can play Jingle Bells with the dogs barking and it'll sound like that, only it's super easy to do. But this was done with actual recordings of dogs barking and finding the right pitch for each one. And what really happened here was that Don Charles was working with an ornithologist, you know, a guy that studies birds, and they were trying to record bird sounds. But the bird sound takes would keep getting spoiled by dogs that would be barking in the background. And they'd be like, stupid dogs barking again. But then what he did is he took those spoiled takes with the dogs barking and kind of spliced out the barks because he realized they were in all different tones and notes and everything. So he was able to kind of take those and splice them into songs. And then once he realized that that was viable, they said, well, let's just get some dogs and record, you know, perfect takes of the dogs barking and we can mix those. And so we got five dogs, Dolly, Pearl, Pussy, Caesar, and King, splice them on reel-to-reel tape and arrange the pitches to the tune of Oh, Susanna. And then later released Patty Cake, Three Blind Mice, and Jingle Bells. And that's how the Singing Dogs came about. Now, that's my maybe second favorite animal song. The first one is not really an animal. It's actually Ray Stevens, but I do love when he does In the Mood as chickens. And in fact, that just pops into my head, and I do it from time to time. So you might be like hanging out with me one day, and just out of nowhere, I just start going, buck, 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 buck. But I can't help it. It's in my head all the time. But there, that's you're going to get some of those novelty Christmas songs out of me over the next couple mornings, and some other ones as well. And then, of course, starting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we'll have our Christmas music celebration, and that'll go until 10 o'clock on Christmas Day. And then after that, it'll be our regular holiday network programming. And as I mentioned earlier, Barry is going to be off this week. Brian is filling in for him every day but Thursday. Thursday will be Paul Santos filling in for Barry. And Chris McCarthy is under the weather, so he's going to be out the next couple of days. I don't know what's going to happen yet at 9 a.m. I've reached out to Paul to see if he's available to fill in. And if he is, great. If not, we'll probably have to go with a best of Howie this morning, and then maybe tomorrow I can put together a best of Chris McCarthy with some of his really good interviews from his recent shows. But we want to make sure that we give Chris a couple of days to feel better because, as you know, he's had some health issues and we don't want him to have a relapse of any of that stuff. So we don't want to make his life any harder. So we'll give him the time that he needs to recover. But normally, you know, I'd just say, hey, Brian, can you fill in? But Brian's already filling in for Barry and Ken's out. So we'll make it happen. We'll make it work. There'll be something on the radio. I promise you it won't be six straight hours of me. I've got too many other things I've got to do. I've got to get all that music and everything programmed in for tomorrow. I've got to get all kinds of stuff done. You know what else I've got to do today? We've got to select the winner of Fun 107's Paws and Claws Holiday Pet Photo Contest. So we have not selected the winner yet. Voting opened up on Friday. We had, I think, 74 entrants in the final voting. So you can go to fun107.com or the Fun 107 app, and you can place your votes there. You scroll through all the photos of all the pets, and, you know, every one of them is going to make you say, aw, aw. But when you get to the end of all those photos, that's where the ballot is to vote for your favorite. So whatever one you like the best, just remember that number and name, and when you scroll down, you'll see it there in the list, and you can vote for that pet. And voting will probably end like around 10 a.m. when I get everything settled in here, and then we'll select the winner. And the winner is getting a $250 Visa gift card. They can use that on their pet. They can use that on themselves. They can use that for whatever they want to use it for. I would think even if you're using it for yourself, you got to get your pet a little something, right? Some extra treats or a new toy. But the important part here is it's all decided by you, so you want to get over there and vote. And you can find that on the Fun 107 website and app. And I was surprised by just how many of one type of pet there was. If you would ask me, what do you think is going to be the most popular pet that you get in this photo contest? First of all, I knew it was going to be a dog for one simple reason. Most cats won't let you put a Santa hat on them or reindeer antlers or anything. Most cats are going to be like, I'm not even going to wear this long enough for you to take a photo. So I figured it was going to be a dog that would be the most popular, but I didn't think it would be the breed that it was. Now, you know, different types of pit bulls are among the most common dogs in New Bedford and Fall River. And so you think that there's a lot of those in the area. Maybe they just don't like wearing holiday decorations because we didn't get a lot of those dogs submitted. The number one pet submitted to us far and away were golden doodles. A breed I hadn't even heard of, you know, 5 years ago, or maybe 10 years ago, but still. But that was far and away the most popular breed of pet submitted to us. And I was talking to a friend of mine who works in the pet industry. And I said, well, what do you think that is that representative of the pets in the area? And he said, I see a lot of those. I see a lot of golden doodles. So maybe that is the new popular breed. You know, just like every few years, people change in what the most popular car is. Well, maybe people change in the most popular dog. I think that you get a situation where somebody goes and visits somebody else that has one, and then they're like, well, I want one of those. And then they go out and they get the same thing. But doesn't matter. They're all cute. They're all adorable. So check out that gallery and make sure you get your votes in. I've got to get another break in. We'll be back in just a few moments. So that's Art Mooney and his orchestra. But on vocals there was a young Barry Gordon. And Barry Gordon wasn't getting nothing for Christmas. And it had nothing to do with the fact that he was bad. It had to do with the fact that he was Jewish. Barry Gordon was Jewish and is Jewish. He was not going to be celebrating Christmas, but he was 6 years old when he recorded that song. And then he went on to a long career as an actor and as a voice actor. And you know Barry Gordon from all kinds of things. He is a Massachusetts native. He was born in Brookline. And he not only was, at the time, the youngest performer ever to hit a pre-Hot 100 Billboard chart. When that song hit number 6 in 1955, it sold over a million copies. And then he had more songs after that. And in 1956, Bill Haley recorded a private demo recording, Six-Year-Olds Can Rock and Roll. And he begins the recording by dedicating it to Barry Gordon. But Gordon appeared on the Jackie Gleason Show, Jack Benny, Danny Thomas, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, Dennis the Menace. But then he went on to become, you know, he got more adult roles as well. He was on the Barney Miller spinoff Fish, starring Abe Vigoda. He was on Kolchak the Night Stalker. He had a recurring role on Archie Bunker's Place. He was on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. You know him more recently as the Rabbi on Curb Your Enthusiasm. But he's been a voice actor going all the way back to, I don't know, the 70s. And he was the voice of Donatello in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He was on Jabberjaw, the Hanna-Barbera show. He was on the Smurfs, the Jetsons, Pole Position, Snorks. He was Junior Wentworth, the kind of the leader of the Snorks, right? Darkwing Duck, Batman the Animated Series, Fantastic Max. He was also the voice for many years of the Nesquik Bunny. So all of that, the career of one Barry Gordon, who is still going strong, but now is a talk show host. He is one of the few left-wing talk show hosts out there. He had a show on the Air America Network, and then you know, he was doing something on the internet and all of that, but he's been successful in the talk radio realm for a long time. 75 years old, and he probably still has gotten nothing for Christmas because, again, Barry Gordon is Jewish. All right, I got to take one more break here before the end of this hour. We'll be right back. That's not a parody. That's actually Tommy Two Tone reworking his 8675309 Jenny into Santa Claus Is Coming to Town. So from the album An All-Star Salute to Christmas, described as the most eclectic Christmas album ever. It's not often you find an album that has Iggy Pop and the Motels along with the Bay City Rollers, James Brown, Robbie Krieger of the Doors, LA Guns, and Musical Youth. Remember Musical Youth?